And Doug.
Good to see you, Sammy.
Thank you.
You're back. It's getting pretty late for you there.
Yeah, it's okay. It's before I go to sleep.
Oh, good.
It's going to be my evening practice.
Okay, good. You're going to be able to stay through the whole
time? I hope so. Oh, I should be able to.
Good, great. Welcome, Andy. Yeah. Is this your first time with us? Yeah, well, welcome. Yeah, I'm glad you could join us. And it's Clay Graham. Welcome, Clay.
Well, hello there. What a pleasure it is to see you.
It's wonderful to see you. It's been a long time. Yeah.
You're doing a mini retreat.
Yes. Yeah. Coming up on February 3rd.
It looks great.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Welcome, Charlene. It's good to see you. Welcome back. It's wonderful to see all you folks here this evening, and welcome. And it's time for us to come together to do some meditation in the spirit of the Heart of Freedom. And for those who are new, I'm Douglas Pullen, or Doug Pullen, and it's a pleasure to have a chance to share these practices with you this evening. And so as we get settled in, just to check in and see if there's any way you can make yourself, your situation, more comfortable and conducive for practice, for being here in a way that's kind and aware and alert. And so some of us are in places where it's a little chilly and damp. And so making sure you got whatever you need to be warm and cozy. Maybe an extra blanket, or if you need a little support. So we can, as we kind of let our eyes close and bring some curiosity and kind and intention inside, letting go of preoccupations with the outside, with the past, the future, commentary and judgment, and just, as much as possible, just letting our minds and hearts come to rest here in the present moment. And I'd like to share with you, as we're getting settled here, a poem. This is a poem from Donna Faulds. It's called The Breath of Life. I breathe in all that is, awareness expanding to take everything in, as if my heart beats the world into being. From the unnamed vastness beneath the mind, I breathe my way to wholeness and healing. Inhalation, exhalation, each breath a yes, and a letting go, a journey, and a coming home. So here's an invitation. This is me speaking now, not the poem, for us to really come home to our true refuge right here. The experience of this mind, this body, this heart, in this safety and supportive community. Yeah, so just letting our eyes closed and checking in. Is there a way that we can welcome this body into more ease? There's places where there's tightness or holding or tension, maybe previously unconscious, that we can bring awareness to just allow it to soften. So we can be both alert and upright, and at the same time, let the body relax and notice as we breathe, is it possible to let the breath be relaxed? Maybe taking a long, slow, deep breath or two, just accentuating that experience of the breath, really noticing where we feel it in the body. And let the breath be like, yeah, a wonderful messenger of kindness, bringing nourishment to every cell in the body. Yeah, and really receiving that, and taking refuge in this capacity to be awake, to be alert. Taking refuge in what we can discover in the present moment. What's true? What do we really know? And to take refuge in our community, the community of life that's gathered here this evening, our Sangha. Taking refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And it starts here with this breath. With this breath that we can just allow to breathe itself. This body breathes the breath without the mind having to control it. And our practice is really to take the breath as our touchstone to help us to recollect or coalesce around presence in this moment, being present with this experience of breathing in and breathing out. Noticing where we feel those sensations of life that beckon us back to life itself, really, to this life, this breath. And gently noticing if the mind goes off into tangents of discursive thinking or tangents of commentary or judgment or trying to figure things out, and just recognizing, of course, the mind goes where the mind's conditioned to go, and we can observe that. We can recognize that with friendliness and, yeah, kindness. And remember that there's always this breath, coming back to the breath. So our simple intention during this period of meditation is to be present and to accept what's happening in this moment just as it is. And practicing being present, we use the breath as a primary focal point for bringing the mind more fully into the present moment, to observe what's actually happening here, letting go of our ideas, noticing the thoughts or ideas, preconceptions about what should be happening, and actually just allowing those to be observed as thoughts, and moving out of identification with thinking into something that's more spacious and alive here in the present moment, without having to try to stop thoughts. Thoughts are just as organic as body sensations, or the air that we breathe, or the sounds that we hear. We don't need to try to stop or change anything. We simply move into a different relationship, one of being the awareness, noticing what's passing through. just seeing if it's possible to let things be. Let this moment be just as it is. Whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, or neutral, whatever's happening in the body or the mind. The breath can be the central focus, and everything else can just arise and pass away by itself. The breath is constantly changing. And our ability to attend or stay focused changes, comes and goes. Sometimes it's more concentrated and durable. Other times it's not. And so with the intention of returning to presence, the intention of being willing to be here with life when it's like this, and sometimes it's particularly challenging if there's really kind of strong feelings or sensations that are negative, like aversive, or strong pulls for something that you'd like more of, or the mind wants, or there might be some agitation or restlessness or sleepiness, sleepy dullness or boredom, or maybe a sense of doubt. Those are referred to as the five hindrances. And through recognition and naming those qualities where they arise, whether it's body or mind, to recognize, oh, this is aversion, this is not liking or not wanting, can turn it into a mindfulness object and transform it from a hindrance into the fertile ground for spiritual awakening. It isn't through getting rid of the hindrances that we transform them, it's through recognition and bringing mindful curiosity. How does this show up in the body? Can I also notice that there's a body that's sitting and breathing? And of course, also important to recognize states of consciousness that are peaceful and loving and kind, full of equanimity and spaciousness. So those might be here too. experience of the breath and body sitting, or perhaps the most predominant object, can be a reminder of our intention to be alert and accepting and kind. Yeah, so letting whatever might seem to be happening in this moment to be an invitation to remember your intention. And that's the deepest intention, the deepest longing of your heart. An opportunity to really connect with ourselves intimately. Each moment conditions the next moment. To meet this moment with our intention of presence, of really being here for the aliveness, for the full living experience, then keeps that thread of intention, that momentum of awakening going. We're planting seeds here with each breath, each mindful breath, each experience of being fully here with the chest expanding and contracting, the belly rising and falling. Or the touch of the breath at the tip of the nostrils. as we move into the last few minutes of this meditation, just an invitation to really recognize what your heart's deepest longing is. What is it that you want more than anything else for yourself and for the world? Just noticing what comes up. What is your intention for your life, for this precious life? And just allowing yourself to really hold that, the preciousness of this aspiration. Notice how it feels in your body, allowing yourself to really, make room for what is the deepest intention that you hold. And if you notice the mind wandering off or spinning out, well, there's a wonderful opportunity to come back, notice how we can stay here with this inquiry, this question. And if there isn't a clear answer, that's okay. Perhaps the question is a journey of discovery. Maybe it's like the Buddha's journey. The Buddha-to-be set out on a journey to discover what leads to the end of dukkha. For all beings. So that's an example of the deepest desire, deep intention. So in the last minute or so, just letting things settle, noticing if there's anything that is coming up, and maybe just recentering in the breath. Or if it's helpful, maybe taking a long, slow, deep breath. Just bring that settledness in. It's wonderful to see all of you folks here, and I'd like to invite you to stay with being present. After sitting here for over half an hour, relatively still, there might be a need for a few moments of stretching. We can do that mindfully, making adjustments. Letting that be a gesture of kindness for ourselves. as we're transitioning here, I'd like to just take a brief moment welcome everyone. It's wonderful to see you. If I haven't seen you since the beginning of the new year, Happy New Year. And just to share a brief rundown of coming events at PIMC, there's a lot of wonderful things happening. Robert Beatty is offering a class starting next week called The Invitation to Joy. That's from 7 to 9 on Wednesday. It starts on January 17th, and there's info on the website about that. Candle Summers is offering Women's Restoration and Rejuvenation starting January 19th, and that goes on for, I think, 4 consecutive months there, once a month. There's a BIPOC mindfulness group in-person gathering on the last Sunday of the month. It begins January 28th from 3 to 5:30, BIPOC group. And then on February 3rd, I'm going to be offering a retreat at PIMC, deepening the compassionate response from 10 to 4. So, and then lastly on, also on February 3rd, there's a DEI movie night, Wandering But Not Lost. Looks interesting, so check that out for the movie. And there's more there, but I, want to just do the most upcoming. And then also reminder of the practice of Dana, that we operate on generosity, and all of what's made possible here this evening is because of the generosity of all of the folks who've given to PIMC in so many different ways, volunteer and financial. And so just an invitation to keep that going if this seems helpful or useful. And there's a link in the chat for and a description of how to do that. You can also go to the website. So, and there's always wonderful volunteer opportunities at PIMC as well. So I'd like to give us a chance to kind of check in. And that check-in can be a mindful practice of speaking from our hearts of what's most alive and listening in that way as well, really, to what's most alive in us, what's coming up as we hear our Sangha share. And it's totally optional. And sometimes, it's really important just to maintain noble silence. But if you'd like to share, just to say a few words, and like to hear people say their name, if you're willing. And then when you're finished, just say, "I've spoken," so the next person can know that it's their turn. And to keep it a safe space for sharing, to not engage in crosstalk. So that's it. And I'll start. My name is Doug, and I'm just feeling really loving and warm this evening. I had a chance to teach a hard cultivation class right before this, and we did a lot of metta and talked about that. So I'm really feeling warm and very loving. So it feels good. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for being here. And I have spoken. So if you'd like to share, feel free.
I am a wind right after sunset blowing through a large Douglas fir whose sound whistles, "Clay!" I you know, in this period, this is a period of darkness, a period of where the days are shorter and a natural kind of time of pulling back and hibernation. And it's important in this period, for me at least, to practice a lot of self-metta. The winter definitely affects me. When there's more sun, it's kind of like, it totally affects my outlook and my kind of vibe. I'm just trying to practice a lot of self-metta right now. It's easy in these months to isolate, and so I wanted to come and share space with all of you guys tonight to share this practice, and may all beings benefit from the merit of our practice. I've spoken. I have spoken. Clay has spoken.
Hi, my name is Sammy, and I've been practicing very much, and I want to say thank you to the Sangha and to you, Doug, for making it a very safe place to completely fail tonight. fail, because it's a journey, but to feel safe in the fact that it's hard to keep those thoughts from running around. So, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Sammy, let's go.
Just a moment, ease into a little Dharma talk. Anybody just on the edge of sharing something before I do that? Okay.
I am.
Oh, there's Charlene.
Hi. I wanted to tell you what happened right before this. So my husband's sick, and in a week and a half, we're getting on a plane for an international trip. So I'm very anxious for him to get better. And he had a doctor's appointment by video today, and she phoned in a prescription to our pharmacy. So I went to physical therapy earlier tonight, and then I went by the pharmacy, and I asked for a prescription in my husband's name, and they gave me one. And I brought it home, and it turns out that it was another prescription for him, not the one she phoned in to help with the issues that he's having. So I checked on that prescription, and it was supposed to be ready by 6:45. So we had some dinner, and I went back to the pharmacy, and I'm in the line of the drive-thru. And I thought, maybe I should go out and get in, but I thought, I'm nice and warm in my car, and I was checking on another friend that was sick, so I'm having this conversation, and the person in front of me takes forever. And when they finally get their business done and I drive up, it turns out the pharmacy closed 8 minutes before I got to the front of the line. And I didn't realize that at first. So I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting to be waited on, thinking, well, they're just dealing with the people who are inside. And then I realize they put down that. They're ignoring me. I try to call. Of course, they don't. They're getting off work. and I cannot pick up this prescription until tomorrow morning. So, what was interesting about all this was that in the old days, I would have just been reactive, and I was plenty reactive, but there was part of me that could just see. It's like, wow, that's like the old Charlene. You're getting really reactive. And there's nothing to be done here. You know, the doctor phoned it into this particular pharmacy. It's not like I have a thing I can run around town. It's not like I can pull any strings here. I just have to wait till tomorrow morning. And I really have been feeling that effect of meditation and the Dharma and everything, that I start to react and then I go, wow, this isn't really what I want to do. And so I got home at like 7:28 and I dialed in at 7:30 because I just wanted to like, I thought this is the best thing for me, and it is. So thank you. Thank you all. Charlene has spoken.
Thank you, Charlene. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. That's a wonderful fruit of your practice. So, thought I'd share a little bit about intention, skillful intention. Seems like that's often where I go kind of at the beginning of the year. I know this isn't exactly the beginning of the year, but it's close. And and so just an invitation, as always, to listen from your heart, not so much from your head, to try to hear what resonates deep in you with that deepest intention that we were talking about. Here's a poem from Mary Oliver. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I've been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? That poem appealed to me because it conjured up kind of images of spring and summer, kind of balancing out our kind of dark, cold, rainy time here in Portland. Maybe snow coming soon. So as we focus on skillful or right intention, the question Mary Oliver asks is really very poignant and real. What is it that we plan to do with this one wild and precious life? And we get an opportunity, if we show up in the present moment, to influence that with our intention. Each mindful moment, in a way, is both the question and the answer to the question. The way we relate to the present moment conditions the next moment. And it creates karma one direction or another. So I'm thinking about this time of year. A lot of times people are doing New Year's resolutions. And so this is kind of a Buddhist take, as I understand it, from my perspective, on how to approach that. And the Buddha's teaching is really a prescription, in a way, for a life of peace that has less anguish, and for a life that is really flourishing, to have a life that's worth living, really. And it's the Four Noble Truths that include the Eightfold Path. And the truths are that there is dukkha, there is anguish and unsatisfactoriness, and it arises from the second noble truth, which is we tend to resist and cling to things based on our conditioning, based on liking and disliking, pleasant and unpleasant, and that causes dukkha, unsatisfactoriness. And then there is nirvana, there is release, there is freedom, both on a small scale and a huge scale. And then there's the path that leads there to that. That's the Eightfold Path. And the Eightfold Path is the fourth noble truth. Each aspect of it supports every other aspect of it. It's not a list of eight discrete steps. It's interactive. It's a matrix, really, of different things that we can cultivate that leads to that freedom, really. And see that, for example, wisdom and compassion arise together and support each other. And it's found in this path, this Eightfold Path, that includes skillful, you know, the word right is used often in translation. And that can conjure up right as opposed to wrong. I translate that in my mind as more like the phrase right on or skillful, or leading to freedom. It isn't about right and wrong. It's about this is what those who experience less dukkha do. So it's more descriptive rather than prescriptive. And so what is that? Well, we're not going to go into detail into the Eightfold Path, but it's right understanding or view. Understanding the path, and then its intention is the next thing. So understanding leads to so what I've been emphasizing this evening is what we intend in the present moment plants seeds for the next moment and the next moment, that our consciousness can be cultivated. That's one of the huge breakthroughs, really, of the Buddhist teaching, is that understanding. And then that the next aspects of the Eightfold Path then become possible. So with skillful intention, then ethical conduct becomes possible, that we don't have to just act out in a reactive way. We can practice skillful speech and skillful action and livelihood. And then with understanding and intention, we can practice skillful effort to cultivate our hearts and minds. And mindfulness can be strengthened with intention, the intention to come back to the breath, to this moment. And concentration, which are the last aspect of the Eightfold Path. Concentration happens because again and again we practice coming back to this moment, to whatever the primary object is. So the Pali word for intention, Pali is the language the Buddhist teachings were originally written down in, is San Kappa, S-A-N-K-A-P-P-A. And in Pali, it means purpose, intention, resolve, aspiration, motivation. And so it is basically how spiritual practice can transform our lives from being a habitual kind of process that's just running its course to creating a destiny based on intention. And that's the hope and promise of the practice. It's one of the most penetrating discoveries that the main factor in shaping our lives that we can master, really, is intention. And if we bring them to the same kind of practice as mindfulness and persistence and discernment, just like we do developing any skill, we can perfect them, or at least improve them, so that our lives are more peaceful and kind and loving. Those things that we were the spark or the deepest intention, those things are only really achieved through clarifying our intention. And so there's that. And as part of intention, the Buddha talked about it being threefold, that it's the intention of a renunciation, the intention of goodwill, and the intention of harmlessness. So I'm just going to briefly describe what those are. Renunciation isn't denial or suppression. It's seeing clearly some things don't lead me in the direction of happiness and contentment and peace. And so I'm going to let those go. And a lot of times it's attachment to sense desire. Not that having wonderful, sensual, beautiful experiences is a bad thing. Not at all. It's just when we cling to them and insist that they stick around longer than they do, or that they be here when they're not, that causes dukkha. So in the intention of renunciation is simply letting be, letting go of those things. And it's the understanding that true happiness always is on the side of truth. It isn't the side of comfort at all costs. Comfort at all costs is ultimately destructive. So then the intention of goodwill is also working with desire. Specifically, it's the desire for our own well-being and the well-being of others. Really getting in touch with that. Really understanding that at the deepest level, we all want to be loved. We all want to be happy. And some expression of that is at the core of our being. We're all here to find that. So to live our lives in accordance with that. And then finally, the intention of harmlessness. There are similarities between harming and ill will. They both stem from unwholesome perceptions. And so a common response in the world, we see it all over the place on interpersonal one-to-one levels, as well as on nation-to-nation levels, the wars, all of the inhumanity that goes on, the common response that if we don't cultivate our hearts and minds is to blame someone else as the cause of my suffering. The next thought is they should be punished, harmed, or gotten rid of. They need to see that they are imperfect and that they must change. So, to free ourselves from that kind of thinking, to step back from that, to observe that. And harming others when it comes from wrong view or unskillful view never has a good outcome. Hatred and the actions that come from hatred lead to more hatred. So intention is consciously moving out of that reactive conditioning and seeing clearly based on wisdom that, as is said in the Dhammapada, the Buddha said, hatred never ceases by hatred, by love alone. Does hatred cease? And we just, we really need to get that. And it's hard. There's such a deeply conditioned, out of touch with our true nature sort of reactive conditioning. But it can change, and it does change. It's possible. So there's that invitation. And it starts right here in our own hearts and minds. It's not out there someplace. The place where we have the most power for transforming the world is right here, in this moment, with what's happening in this mind, in this heart. And some people ask, so what's the difference between goals and intentions? Philip Moffat, who's a teacher down at Spirit Rock, had a little piece he wrote about that, and I'd like to share a little excerpt from his writing. He said, goal making is a valuable skill. It involves envisioning a future outcome in the world or in our behavior, and then planning, applying discipline, and working hard to achieve it. We organize our time and energy based on our goals, and then that provides direction. Visualizing and committing to those goals may assist us in our efforts, but neither of these activities is what I call setting an intention. They both involve living in an imagined future and are not concerned with what's happening to us in the present moment. With goals, the future is always the focus. Are we going to reach the goal? Will we be happy when we do? What's next? Setting an intention, according to the Buddhist teachings, is quite different than goal setting. It's not oriented towards a future outcome. Instead, it is a path or practice that's focused on how we are being in the present moment. Our attention is on the ever-present now, in the constantly changing flow of life. We set our intentions based on understanding what matters most to us and make a commitment to align our actions with our inner values. We gain insight through meditation, wise reflection, and moral living, and our ability to act from our intention blossoms. It's called a practice because it's an ever-renewing process. We don't just set our intentions and then forget about them. We live them every day. I start every day with meditation, and as part of my meditation, I cultivate kindness and compassion and reflect on the Four Noble Truths. I don't think I've ever, in the last 20 years, I don't think I've missed a day doing that. And going to sleep at night, I practicing some form of metta or compassion practice. And, you know, there's still lots of room for a growth here. But it certainly made a huge difference. It'll change your life. It does change your life if you do that. And you can start with wherever you're at. One of the things is that intention is much more flexible than goals, because goals are based on a certain fixed outcome that we're aspiring to. Intention is really about how we choose to respond in the present moment to the conditions we find ourselves in. So, regardless of what the other person says or does, my intention, this is an example, is to try to connect, not to correct. I'm not going to try immediately to tell them what they're doing wrong and what an asshole they are, for starters. I'm going to start with trying to listen and understand and notice what's coming up in me that might be getting in the way of doing that. Maybe that's where I start. Is how can I be compassionate with myself first? So, and listen to what's coming up for me that might be getting in the way of being there. So, there's that. Clay, did you have a question?
Yeah. You said for, I think you said something like 10 years or more, you've never missed a day of doing that, right?
Yes.
So you've intended to do that every day?
Yes.
Let's say you didn't do it one day, one mm-hmm. morning. Would you call yourself an asshole and, like, would you be angry at yourself? Would you call yourself an idiot for failing, for being a failure?
Well, those thoughts might run through the mind. But hopefully at some point, there would be noticing those as unskillful thoughts that are going through the mind. And there really isn't anybody here to blame. There's just causes and conditions. So if that happened, it would just be, well, that's what's happening. The mind forgot.
I think that's the kind of thing that the mind experiment I go through with intentions is intentions, like, unlike goals, and definitely with goals, we shouldn't go around calling each other assholes when we fail at them. But right. I mean, there's this kind of, especially in our culture, of blame or like failure or feeling failure, mm-hmm. you know, and with intentions, it's absolute, for me at least, intentions are absolutely the opposite of that. It's how is my heart directionally, and then letting go of the outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the only place that I really have influence is right here in my own heart, as you're saying so clearly. Yeah, that's where I have the freedom to choose. And then I can try to show up and be the kind of person that I want to be in the world, and then let go of attachment to results. And yeah, sometimes that's not so easy, but so I'd like to give us a little opportunity this evening before we finish to do a circle back and do a little bit of cultivation practice. And this is kind of picking up the thread of where we left off there. So if you'd like to do this, if you feel like you're kind of you don't really have the energy to do a lot of cultivation right now, you can honor that and maybe just notice your breath or your body sitting and be gentle with yourself. But if you feel like you'd like to, as you connect with your breath and your body, just to remember or reflect on what's the intention that you would like to cultivate this evening for yourself? What are the seeds that you'd like to water? What does your heart long for that's in alignment with your deepest values and beliefs? And then just noticing what comes up. There might be a felt sense or an image or some words. And can start with if you can translate that into some words like, may I be loving or kind, or may I accept myself just as I am, or some variation on that. May I be kind to myself even when I mess up, when I make mistakes, or I forget or lose things, or whatever it might be. Where is it that there might be a place where you can intend to make peace in your life? And notice what comes up. And once there is some clarity of intention, and you can put it into words and a felt sense, then I invite you to stay with that. It's a sense of cultivation, of planting seeds of intention in this moment and watering them and letting go of attachment to any kind of results, really. We don't know what the future is going to bring, but what we can know is what's happening right here, this moment. And this mind moment can be one that comes from love and compassion, joy, equanimity, peace. And if starting with yourself seems like there's a little resistance or pushback there, it might be easier to start with someone who's easy, you know, to feel warmth and love and kindness towards, a dear friend. And so you can imagine them sitting across from you. Wish them well. Hold an intention of kindness for them. May they be happy. May you be happy. And you abide in well-being. You have ease. Just letting it be really simple. Whether for this beloved person or for yourself. Yeah, what are the wishes that are most alive for you? The intentions. And if the mind wanders, or there's, anything that comes up, we can use mindfulness to notice and accept, and if possible, come back to our intention. Practicing metta in all of its different forms, in whatever form works for you. Tenisro Bhikkhu said, the Metta Sutta, this practice of loving intention, is basically a recipe for cooking skillful intention, where there's friendliness or joy or compassion or equanimity, there's skillful intention. Yeah. So here, yeah, practicing with this, cultivating this. And you can expand it out beyond to other beings who are less well known. You can do the same practice for beings that you find difficult. It's kind of more the deep end of the pool, more challenging. And we can share this out into the world. And we'll circle back to that when we do our closing. So for now, yeah, we're going to transition here in just a minute. But yeah, just getting the noticing the feel of this, how this feels in the body. And trusting the wisdom in your heart to know what is skillful for you. What brings balance? Buddha said in one of the suttas, it's the Anguttara Sutta, intention, I tell you, is kama or karma. Intending, by intending, one does karma by the way of body, speech, and mind. So we can change our karma by through intention. So I'm curious to kind of, if there's any sharing or questions about intention, how to work with intention. Slippery.
Yes. There's a thought that I'm having that intention can deal with me as Larry right here, right now. But intention's larger being is way beyond that. And so my inner intention is to say, how might I connect with that deeper, larger self? And that intention is beyond the small intentions of my little self, who calls itself Larry. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Is it okay if I respond to that, Larry?
Oh, I would be delighted. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. It's... yeah, and I hear that. What comes up for me is that there's something beyond the skin encapsulated ego, the small self, that wants to wake up.
Yes.
And in the world. and yeah, and is wanting to make possible all beings to remember that we are one, that we're all connected.
Yes.
And you know, for me, that is the deepest desire. Anything less isn't really the deepest desire.
Thank you. That is very much so. Mm. There is iron and there is gold.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
This is Kelsey. I just want to share that I do really appreciate the message and like the wisdom of intention versus goals. And that like really resonates for me and where I'm at with my evolution and understanding of life as a human. And yeah, I'm finding it's really about like letting go of that like fear, force, control of the goals, and instead coming into the allowing, the present moment, and goes along with intention. And man, it's really, really cool.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah. And I'm done.
Thanks, Kelsey. Thanks. Yeah. Thank you very much. Friends, anybody sitting with anything last thing you'd like to share or question before we close? Great. Well, I'd like to invite us. Kathy, were you getting ready to?
I was thinking about it.
Okay. Don't want to put you on the spot. I just saw you unmute, so.
Yeah, I think sometimes that there's a possibility of having an intention behind your goal. So your goal might be to have an online class, but and to teach them I don't know, anything about flowers. But your intention might be behind that is to share yourself with others and to connect with others and to have them feel a sense of accomplishment. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of think that the intentions and goals can work together. I mean, not have to, you can simply have an intention, but I think that mm-hmm. intentions and goals can work together. And it helps if you are conscious of both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
makes... So that's just a thought I was having.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, yeah, that sounds true to me. Yeah, isn't goals can or should be supplanted by intention. It's a different thing, and they can be complementary. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think maybe they operate at a different scale in mm-hmm. time and space mm-hmm. or something like that.
Yeah, I appreciate that clarifying. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Doug.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, let's do a closing metta, and I was thinking maybe we could pick up the thread and just, yes, if it feels right, you could start where you left off with an invitation to kind of be more expansive, if that feels like something that would be wonderful for you. Yeah, just to let the intention of love and peace
enjoy.
To extend out, to expand beyond, to include our community gathered here this evening, and yeah, we could imagine being in a circle together with our hands, holding each other's hands, and just letting our loving intentions radiate around, helping each of us remember that we're part of something bigger, that we really are, we are interbeing, really. And yeah, and noticing what that feels like to extend our wishes of well-being around the circle. I'm imagining that, but it could be more of a felt sense. So just noticing how you might experience that. And then we can use the energy of this gathering, the circle, to extend our wishes out into the world, kind of a powerful channel of light and wishes of well-being and peace in the world, to beings who are near and dear to us, whether they're local or across the world, to beings that we know are experiencing anguish and suffering, torn by war, famine, all the different ways suffering manifests in the world. May all of these beings be free. May our hearts open in a way that leads to the end of suffering. May that highest and deepest intention be real, be true, and manifest in the world. And if I haven't mentioned anything that your heart longs for in terms of sharing, feel free to use the space of this group to extend those wishes out. And feel free to join me in chanting here as we close this simple wish with all of our gathered energy. May all beings be happy. The happiness that's beyond gain and loss. So you're welcome to unmute, and we'll chant that three times, and then we'll chant Sadhu, so be it, three times. And feel free to join in. May all beings be happy. May all beings be happy. May all beings be happy. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Please take whatever's beneficial and continue to practice with it. Anything that's not or unhelpful, just let it go. So you only take the good stuff.
Thank you.
And be safe and well, and I hope to see you again soon, next week. Take care.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye, everybody. Bye. Have a good year. Bye.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Good luck.